Good evening.
Good evening.
Welcome to another exciting week.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but I look forward to Tuesday nights.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
You know, somebody say, man, we in church too much. I say, huh? You don't even spend a day in church. Well, you want to go through it? 8 hours a day. 5 days a week, 40 hours. You're in church less than 8 hours a week. And people complain. That's why this Western church can't go forward. It takes time to import. Now, just think about how good God is to us. Our apostle is a multimillionaire, lives in a mansion, could be doing anything. But love us enough to come and impart to us so that we could live like God intended us to live. That's worth mentioning. So whenever enemy try to mention to you that this is a waste of your time, you need to slap him. Because ministry and the anointing costs. So Father, tonight we thank you for our apostle. We thank you for this school of ministry. We thank you for his family. And most of all, we thank you for the precious Holy Spirit, who is the only and the true teacher. For Jesus said when he's come, he would lead and guide us into all truth, bring all things to our remembrance, what things soever he said unto us. So we thank you for it. Teach us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Once again, this class is Catching the Waves of Revival. I'm going to try to move forward because I find out when I rehearse, try to go back, I don't get as far as I want to go. So we're going to kind of pick up from where I left off last week. It's in chapter 1. You should have read it by now. That's not punishment. That's assignment. Okay? So what we find out is in the New Testament, the New Testament itself is revival. All right? The New Testament is revival all by itself. All right. There's one Greek word mentioned five times in the New Testament. So we're going to pick up with that. All right. Let's start with that clip right there. What it says.
This Greek word. Anazao.
It's anazao.
Is used for the restoration. For the prodigal son. Luke chapter 15, verse 24 through 32.
Now, y'all know in Luke chapter 15 that you had the prodigal son, the story of the prodigal son. Y'all understand that, right?
Yes, sir.
Huh? The prodigal son really was the one home.
Yeah.
I'm going to let y'all go. I know I just messed up all of y'all theology. But you see, sometimes when you out the wrong paradigm. Yeah, there was the son who received his inheritance. All right. And the Bible talks about the father would never go out to get him. See, in revival, we come back to God. In revival, we come back to God. Now, in the story of the prodigal son, there's much to be understood about revival. Because number one, the father would go out and look for his son. But he would never go get him. He wanted his son to come back home. And one of the things we find out about revival, you can't come back home till you get your mind right. So one of the greatest transformations that's going on right here, right now, is God has been dealing with our apostle about, remember I mentioned to you that it is through fasting and prayer that great revivals start.
Yes, sir.
And we understand from what apostle had been have been teaching us is that without fasting, there's no humbling of the soul.
Yes, sir.
See, you understand?
Yes, sir.
So all true revival begins with fasting, prayer. So we know that the father was looking for the son, right? And when his son came home, he threw a party, gave him a royal robe, put a ring on his finger. Huh? Now, this was after the boy squandered. Watch what I'm about to say now. This is after the boy squandered what he thought was all of his inheritance. But this is to teach you something. You can't, God can't run out. Remember, it said he asked for his inheritance and took it and went squandered it on righteous living. But when he came back, the father said, get him a robe, put a ring on his finger, make merry, get the fatted calf. Right? What does that tell you? You can't run out. But the one that was home was angry that his brother came home, was mad about his father celebrating him. See, in revival, you have to recognize. See, revival has a lot to do with what's going on in your head. Because here's a son at home doing everything the father said.
Yes, sir.
Right? Yes, sir. But not being a partaker of the benefits. Telling the father, you never did this for me. The father said, you could have had this the whole time.
Right.
Even when your brother was gone. This is your stuff to enjoy. But in revival, what in this particular thing, that Greek word talks about when that ignition took place, when that father looked out and saw that boy coming home. Are you listening to me? Okay, keep going.
The resurrection of Christ.
It's also the word, that same word is used in the resurrection of Christ. Now, y'all understand what resurrection is all about, huh? Resurrection means you can't go back there no more.
Right.
No, you didn't hear what I just said.
Right.
Resurrection means you cannot go back there no more. Watch this. In this revival, it won't be no going back.
Right.
It'll be an ushering in.
Yes, sir.
Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Now, resurrection means Jesus wasn't raised from the dead because Lazarus was raised. The 12-year-old girl was raised. In the Old Testament, they were raised. But resurrection means when God resurrect you from the dead, death cannot touch you anymore. You want to know why? Because he offered up himself one for sin. He offered up himself one time for sin. So sin is no longer an issue. Because if sin was dealt with, then death was dealt with. What God was showing you in the resurrection is on that tree.
Yeah.
I dealt with sin.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
And you ain't going to know how I dealt with sin till I get up.
Yes, sir.
You understand?
Yes, sir.
So once I get up, you will understand that death can't touch him no more.
Right.
You understand that?
Yes, sir.
So in this revival, not only will we understand that death, D-E-A-T-H, can't touch us. But in this generation, D-E-B-T, there in this revival, because remember, Apostle said and told us when God gave him money cometh, that it would be here until the second coming of Christ. Now, let me help you here. The second coming of Christ. Are you listening to me? All right. But you also need to understand that he here already. Most of the church don't even know he here. They still looking for him. When the Holy Spirit came back, Jesus came back. You need to understand that. This is not a trick. This is for real. Jesus say, I'm going to leave and I'm coming back. But this time I'm not going to be with you. I'm going to be in you. Okay. So y'all getting that?
Yes.
All right. Next point.
Evil as well.
Now, there can also be a revival of evil.
Yes, sir.
But we don't need to fear it. Because where sin do abound, grace do it much more abound.
Yes, sir.
See, I don't spend a lot of time talking about evil.
Right.
Because the Bible say overcome evil with, overcome hate with. So that tells me we on the winning side.
Right.
We cannot be checked and cannot be stopped.
Right.
Put it another way. We got the goods. Okay, keep on going. The next one.
Another equivalent New Testament word is used by Paul in 2 Timothy 1:6.
Turn to 2 Timothy 1:6, because this word has to do with something you're going to do. You want to create. See, some people, I don't know if you ever heard this terminology, but the best defense is a great offense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. That's
right. Yes, sir. Y'all know how the church been acting? The church been acting like we got to stop the devil.
Yep.
Okay, y'all don't have to say number. I don't want to talk to y'all. I'm gonna talk to this side over here. The church been acting like we got to stop the devil. So a lot of theology, a lot of the way, see, that's why apostolic ministry is important.
Yes, sir.
Because we're dealing with government.
Yes, sir.
In the apostolic, we deal with government.
Yes, sir.
You understand? Yes, sir. Which has to do with heaven to earth order.
Yes, sir.
You understand that?
Yes, sir.
And we understand in government, the government rule.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
In government, there's protection,
yes,
direction.
Yes.
You understand?
Yes,
so now watch what I'm about to tell you. There's no reason for the church to be talking about trying to stop the devil.
Yes.
Where did that theology come from?
Right.
It came from an absence,
yes,
of apostolic ministry.
Yes,
without the apostle being in his proper place,
yes,
without the prophet being in his proper place.
Yes.
See, true revival is restoring everything back to God's original plan.
Yes. Yes.
See, the Bible says, they which are first shall be last, and they which are last shall be first. Well, what you have to understand is the way God built the church. Remember Jesus in that revelation that he gave to Peter? When Peter said, I know who you are. You are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. Jesus said, you're right, Simon. You're right. Blessed are you. Empowered are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood did not reveal that to you. But my Father revealed that to you. And he said, upon that rock, I will build. Notice the phrase, I will build. Watch what he said. My church. So Dr. Walker don't have no church. And Apostle Thompson don't have no church. Y'all don't want to talk now. I understand. Oh, man, no daddy gonna be mad with me. He the one told me to tell you. And if you don't like the real nice English version, we can go ghetto. We don't got no church. Okay, so see, and that's the problem. That's the problem. That's why we can't move further, because people think the church belongs to us. No, it's his church. But now watch what he did. He said, I will build my church. Now watch what he say. And the gates of hell shall not prevail. You know what prevail means? Mean you trying to stop me from coming. What the church did is, instead of the church being offensive, it started talking about we got to prevail against evil. Where'd that come from? We started acting like the Bible ascribed Satan as being almighty. See, hell cannot prevail against the church. And this revival that we're presently in. Notice I keep telling you it ain't coming no more. Jesus said, look out on the field. The harvest is ripe already. I need some offensive minded players to go out and take back what the enemy stole. I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So in the building of his church, Jesus set, he gave gifts and God set them. Jesus gave gifts and God set them. Now, the church is the ring, the setting. You got it? The church is the what?
The ring.
It's the setting. He gave gifts, diamonds, five of them. The chief one is the apostle, that center stone, first in order. First in rank. You got it?
Yes,
then next, the apostle. The apostle, next the prophet. Then the evangelist. I just want you to get your picture in your ring. A setting. Five prongs. The biggest stone being the apostle. Next to the apostle is the prophet and the who? No, there y'all go. See, y'all messing up. I know that's what Ephesians 4:11 say, but remember, we ain't talking about the giving of the gifts.
Yes, sir.
We talking about the setting of the gifts. Jesus gave five: the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. The gifts were given, right? They represented Jesus. One Jesus, five gifts. Last I checked, five over five, five-fifths is still one. You got it? Jesus himself was grace personified. The number for grace in the Bible is five. Are you listening? Now, he gave those five gifts. But God say, I'm going to set the gifts in the order in which the church got to be built. So now you got to go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. See, verse number 28. And God set the members in the body as it pleased him. And the first one he set was the apostle, because the apostle is first in order, first in time, first in rank. It was also an indication. Who was Jesus training? Only apostles. Are you with me? So he was training only apostles. All the other gifts were sprang forth from connecting to them. You got it? So Jesus gave the gifts. God set them. You got it? And now watch this. When they all fill up that nice ring and they all set in their proper place, then it's time for it to be worn. You got it? And that ring is an indication of you are joined to the Lord and you cannot be stopped. You got it? Y'all see it? Now, I say it all that to say this. The first gifts to be given and set would be restored last. All right, here go again. For the last shall be and the first shall be. So the first gifts that he gave and set are last to be restored. He's bringing us back to his original plan. Y'all got it? All right. So now that's why hell won't prevail, because there's a new sheriff, a new paradigm coming on the scene. Yes, not wait and hold on. Right. Go get it. Go get your blessing. Yeah. Right. Shata. Yeah. Okay, come on. Read the next one.
Revival means to renew.
Revival means to renew.
To reawaken.
This is in the New Testament. It means to renew, to awaken.
To reinvigorate.
To reinvigorate.
To restore the church.
To restore the church
to wholeness,
to restore the church to wholeness,
and joy in the Holy Spirit.
Didn't that be happy? Y'all must be not following online enough. That's the two words he gave when he finished preaching Sunday. Be happy. Y'all need to be happy. Not in condemnation. Be happy. Come on, go it on.
Revival is more than big meetings.
Oh, this is wonderful here. Now pay attention to this. Revival is more. People, let's go to a revival.
Right.
And because they got a lot of people there,
right,
that don't mean it's a revival.
Right. Yes,
ain't nothing happening.
Yes, sir.
So revival is not big meetings.
Religious excitement.
It's not religious excitement.
A quickening of saints.
It's not a quickening of the saints.
Being filled with the Holy Spirit.
It's not being filled with the Holy Spirit.
Or even a great harvest of souls.
Revival is not even a great harvest of souls. Keep that thing on. Don't turn that thing off. You say, why you said it? Because see, people won't turn you off. Oh, yeah. No, that's not true revival. Keep reading.
One or all of these.
Now, watch what it said. One or all of those elements.
May exist without revival.
They may exist without. Out revival. Read.
Revival is God revealing himself.
Oh, my. Revival is God revealing himself.
To men in awesome holiness.
God revealing himself to men. Watch this now. In awesome holiness and in awesome
irresistible power.
Irresistible power. Now, what does that tell you? A revival can't be stopped. Because in revival, God reveals his awesomeness. One of the most outstanding things about revival is power show up. That's why when you think about it, the apostles, many signs and wonders were done by the hands of the apostles. You don't be reading that about everybody. See, there y'all go. You don't be reading that about it. It talks about the apostles. The power that was shown. The Bible says they would bring people out into the street. That Peter's shadow. But y'all understand what that means, huh? The Bible says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the
shadow.
Shall abide under the
shadow.
Of the what?
Almighty.
All right. Now watch this. A shadow is indicative of presence.
Yes, sir. Yes,
sir. If I see a shadow, the real deal got to be there.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Right there.
Yes, sir.
Put it another way. The Old Testament was a shadow that the new was on the way. Are you listening to me? We have to understand that this revival will be marked by tremendous power.
Yes, sir.
Outbreaks,
yes, sir,
of the Holy Ghost that can't be denied. Can I put it another way?
Yes,
it's not praying for the sick, it's healing them.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. That's right.
See, blinded eyes must come open.
Yes, sir.
Oh, y'all not talking to me. Hey, this ain't no lay hands and hope it happen one day. This is who we are, and this is what we do. In this revival, there won't be no such thing as, see, one of the things I believe God is doing in revival is saying, listen, all them excuses for not producing is getting weeded out. Jesus, the Bible says he healed them all. He does not make up an excuse why they didn't get healed.
Yes, sir.
Don't come. I got to get your mind right for this. Because we tend to want to hold on to all these excuses. Jesus didn't ask if they sinned, if they didn't sin. He didn't care about none of that. Jesus asked the man, will you be made whole? That man say, well, sir, when the angel come to stir up the water. Now, here's something you need to know. Every kind of person who needed a touch was out there waiting on that water to be stirred up. You ready for this? Even a blind man. Talk to me. A blind man waiting for a pool to get stirred up. Here's what you need to know. A blind man hear better than you.
Yes, he does.
Because he's depending on this here more than this here. Talk to me up here. Oh, you didn't want me to go here, but let me help you. You got to be blind when you follow God.
Yeah. Come on. Come on. Yes, sir.
Because the blinder you are, the clearer you'll see.
Yeah.
You won't know why, because when you're blind, you hear better. Because you need somebody to direct you. That's why you quit tripping. Listen, ain't got nothing getting by God in this one. He is healing them all. They coming out of wheelchairs. Because we hearing better. First of all, Jesus just didn't walk and just do stuff to do it. The reason he was getting the type of results he got is because of this awesome display of power caused people to come to him. They came to him when they saw the miracles that he done on people. There's a fame getting ready to go out of the power that's in the church. All right, come on. Let's get. We got to get farther here. Read. Huh?
True revivals are marked by powerful and often widespread outpouring of the Holy Spirit.
True revival. is marked by that awesome, irresistible power. Are you listening?
Yes, sir.
Being released in this earth realm. And that's what we have to start setting our hearts to experience true revival. Now, there was a scripture in Timothy that I had wanted to get to about stirring up. See, in revival.
Timothy 1, 6.
Second Timothy? First Timothy. First Timothy 1, 6. I want to show you something. Second Timothy. All right. It's in the Bible, 2 Timothy. You know, every now and then, you know, somebody write the wrong note down. You don't get upset. You just go to the scripture. Amen?
Amen.
Plus, y'all read the Bible enough, you already knew that, right? I often tell people when I say, y'all don't even know where it's at. I at least know it's in the Bible. Y'all got it? Okay. All right, 2 Timothy 1, 6. What does it say? Now, this is Paul talking to his spiritual son in the gospel, Timothy. He said, wherefore, I put you in remembrance that you do what? That you do what? See, revival is stirring up the gift of God. Read.
Which is in
me. Where is it at?
In
it's in you. Now, somebody got to teach you up how to store it up. Praying in the spirit.
Yes, sir.
Fan the wind. Fan the wind. You got to stir up the winds of revival in you.
Yes,
see, you're much more powerful than what you really think you are.
Yes,
you see, God wants us living from the inside.
Right. Yes, sir.
Now, he goes on to give him further instruction. Read, what did he say? See, it came on him by the what? Putting on of his hands. Uh-huh. Yeah, for God had not given us the spirit of
fear.
Now watch this. See, that's why we have not seen the type of revival we should see. The church is fearful. We have the new president in office, right? People are panicking.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
What they're panicking for? They won't cover everything the man doing wrong. Well, this is what you need to understand. God raised up Pharaoh.
Yeah.
Right. God raised up President Obama.
Yes, sir.
And God raised up President Donald Trump.
Yes, sir.
Now, they're going to be people saying, man, you out of your mind. See, God ain't into what all these American citizens be thinking about. When God wants a revival to go off in a land, God will orchestrate events and things to happen so that, watch this. One thing you're going to find out, because we want to go into these nine characteristics of when revivals show up. You see, when true revivals show up, you know, under the Old Testament, there were like seven major revivals, and there are nine distinct characteristics of all of those revivals. That's what we're headed to, so that you can understand. But we have to understand that God is in control. God is not concerned about who in office and who not in office. See, all promotion come from God. All right. Every man that is raised up, God puts them in that office for a specific thing that he wants to accomplish. Now, ain't no sense you get mad. The first Pharaoh that God raised up loved Joseph. The next Pharaoh that came up didn't like the children of Israel. But God say, I raised him up. And God say, you pray for him. So instead of complaining about the president, why don't you just do what God told you to do? Because all God is interested is one thing, my purpose. Because the type of revival I want to bring in, one of the characteristics of revival is that revival always takes place in a time of deep moral decay. And deep darkness.
Yes, sir.
Put it another way. The darker it gets, the greater the revival.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Y'all ready for this?
Yes, sir.
In deep, dark, moral decay and revival. See, I've never seen, I'll be doing participating in a funeral for a loved one. And the church got to do a better job of understanding funerals and different things. But let me tell you something. We need to get it straight. Death is not greater than life.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
Death never takes life.
Right.
Somebody said, man, it never takes life. Whoever told you that never read the Bible. Because the Bible says in him was life. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In him was life. L-I-F-E. Zoe, the God kind of life. In him was life, and his life was the light of men. St. John 5:26 say, as the Father had life within himself, so did he give to the Son of Man to have life in himself. Jesus was a quickening spirit, a life-giving spirit. He had to lay down his life. Death didn't come to put life out. He laid his life down. He said, I got power to lay it down and power to pick it up again. You got that? You got that? So if he was life, you got it. And death took him out, he could have never came back.
Right.
See, the Bible says, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, Hebrews 2:14, he also himself likewise took part of the same, watch this, that through death. See, life is greater than death. That through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. So Satan thought by and God said, no, you fit right into my plan. Because the Bible say, if the princes of this world had known, they wouldn't have crucified him. Because in crucifying him, they kill themselves. Because in 3 days, life say, I got to get back up. I'm trying to get us to focus on this fact. Darkness can't put out light. Look all around you. Darkness can't put that out. Darkness is the absence of light. And death is the absence of life. So life is greater. So in this revival, we're going to be ministering life and not death. You'll see the dead raised. That's the kind of power I'm talking about. See? So one of the characteristics of revival, we said what now? It takes place in a time of great or deep moral decay and in a time of darkness. So when things get worse in the earth realm, revival gets stronger. That's why God is never concerned. Can I put it to you another way? What? How much time I got? Don't let me get wild at you now. Because I want to show you something. Huh?
It's 8:30.
Okay, 5 minutes. Don't y'all back like I got all night. Now, I got to say this. To show you how this works, because some of y'all don't understand, God operates just the opposite of what people think. Now, watch what I'm about to show you. Pharaoh thought, if I put more labor on these people, I'm going to kill them, get rid of them. But the harder things got, the more they multiplied. Come on now. I'm trying to show you why things got to get hard for revival to come. Because the harder it get, the stronger we get. Unless you're on the wrong end. That's why I believe what Apostle said in this previous class about hearing the voice of God is the most important thing to a believer. That is absolutely the most important thing to a believer, because hearing the voice of God says faith come. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith.
Yes, sir.
Are you listening to me?
Yes,
so in this revival, the key to it taking off to greater dimensions is we will have a people who can hear his voice.
Yes, sir.
You got it?
Yes, sir.
The first step to functioning in faith is hearing.
Yes, sir.
If you haven't heard nothing, you got nothing to obey. You can't obey what you ain't heard.
Yes, sir.
You got it?
Yes, sir.
Then after you hear and obey, whenever God instructs you to do something, it's going to bring you into some adversity.
Yes, sir.
You understand that? It's going to bring you into adversity. You don't have to look for it. It's coming.
It's coming.
All adversity, all challenges, everything you go through is a result of what you've been hearing.
Yeah.
So when hard times show up, it's because somebody been preaching good times.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to show you how this works. Because I'm trying to show you, as we begin to move into deeper into revival, things going to be getting much darker out here.
Yeah.
And the reason you got to hear the voice is because you're going to have to work from inner light.
Yeah.
To shine forth the outer light.
Yeah.
So you'll know how to walk.
Yes, sir.
Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
So for next session, we're going to look at chapter number 2. Where it's going to talk about those 7 revivals and 9 characteristics. One of those other characteristics is God always find a consecrated vessel.
Yes, sir.
Now, in case y'all don't know it, apostle is just different.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
You look at it how you want. I've never heard nobody ever walk with say, I have been from day one. I asked God to give me a hunger and a thirst for him that would never run out.
Yeah.
And 43 years of ministry, he's never missed a day.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, as a man following him, I've never synced it.
Yeah.
Okay? That's for real. So those of you who are in here, hopefully that comes off on us.
Yes, sir.
That pursuit. In revival is pursuit.
Yes.
Pursuit of consecration,
yes,
sanctification, dedication.
Yes,
you got it?
Yes,
this is the real deal.
Yes.
If you want this, it's going to cost you something.
Yes,
and please don't get offended when he come at you.
Yes,
because in order to be developed and trained, somebody got to come at you.
Yes,
all right.
Yes,
all right. I'll see y'all next time. I think I made it.